The word of God for this morning is from Colossians chapter 3. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Each of us has things that drive us, things we really care about, things that motivate us. Sometimes we call them our passions. Maybe it's mathematics or music or psychology or sports or history or whatever it might be. Maybe it will become your college major. Maybe it will be what you figure out for your career. As Christians, we also have one central thing that directs us in all that we do and all that we are. Here, Paul calls it the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This can't be an emotional peace, because emotions go up and down every day and every hour. It can't be simply an intellectual peace, because knowledge varies with age and learning. And Paul calls it God's peace, the peace that comes from Christ. We have peace with God when we recognize that our sins are forgiven through Christ. Our sins separate us from God. Our conscience can sometimes just terrify us. But Jesus' sinless life, innocent death, and powerful resurrection in our place remove all our worries, all our sins, and give us a clear conscience. They give us that peace with God. This peace can rule in our hearts, directing our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Sometimes our baser passions guide our hearts. Each of us has evil passions too. The devil, the world, and our own selves, our own sinful flesh, will tempt us to sin again and again, to rebel against God, to rebel against ourselves. And we give in too frequently. But when we come to our senses, regret our sin, and hear the word of God's forgiveness again, then that peace with God is restored. Paul urges that the word of Christ, that gospel of Christ, should dwell in us richly. That word of Christ that restores us to God through the work of Jesus, our Savior. We hear that word when we read the scriptures, when we hear them preached, when we admonish and encourage each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that proclaim that grace of God. The greatest teacher of this is the book of Psalms itself. The Psalms describe the wondrous works of God, his creation, his salvation, his gracious spirit. The Psalms are the Christian church speaking and singing to one another for generations, for thousands of years. In Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, King David teaches us through inspiration to repent as he repented after committing adultery and murder. The Psalms look forward to the coming of the Messiah, which we see fulfilled in Jesus Christ. They predict the coming of the wise men. Kings shall bow down before you. They predict Jesus' suffering and death. They pierced my hands and my feet. They predict his resurrection. You did not leave my soul in the grave. They proclaim the hosannas of Palm Sunday and the alleluias of Easter. When we sing psalms and hymns that proclaim these truths of the gospel, we encourage each other in the true Christian faith, as believers have done for generations. All of this leads to one thing together: thankfulness. Twice in this short text, Paul talks about thankfulness. He begins by saying, "Let God's peace rule in your hearts and be thankful." And he ends by urging us to do all that we do in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. What else can we do? What else can we offer to God? We thank God for Jesus' sacrifice that opens heaven for us. We thank God for cleansing us from the leprosy of sin. For now in him we are pure and clean, clothed in his righteousness, so that God sees us and accepts us as his own adopted children. One of our hymns says, "I have naught, my God, to offer, save the blood of thy dear Son. Graciously accept the proffer, make his righteousness mine own. His holy life gave he, was crucified for me, his righteousness perfect now pleads before thee. His own robe of righteousness, my highest good, shall clothe me in glory through faith in his blood." For this we give all thanks to God. We thank God in prayer and song, in good works and godly life, in hymns that proclaim his grace and mercy. We give thanks because Jesus is our beautiful Savior, Son of God and Son of Man. May the peace of God rule in our hearts. May the word of Christ dwell richly in us. And may we do everything in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.